Good morning. I'm so excited about these scriptures. Just looking at the start of the Gospel of Mark, he's excited to share the good news of Jesus Christ. He calls him the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. This is what Mark is excited to tell his readers, his hearers, that Jesus is the good news. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. That's what he's going to talk to them about. That's what he does talk to them about. And by the end of the gospel, he wants to make sure the readers know that they know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. So he opens with these very texts which we just heard. Now, Messiah means the anointed one, the chosen one. And we can look right through the Old Testament to see how this long-awaited Messiah, anointed one, expected one, was prophesied about. All the Old Testament is full of prophecies all about them. We can even see right back to Genesis chapter 3. While speaking to the serpent in the Garden of Eden, God said to him, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike your heel. So it's understood that the person that would come and strike the serpent's head would be the Messiah, the Saviour, the Redeemer from the sin of the world to redeem not just Adam and Eve but all people. Another early passage prophesying about the Messiah, Deuteronomy 18, says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." Isaiah 52 and 53 talk about a suffering servant. Daniel 9 speaks of the anointed one who is to come. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his birth, in his life, in his death, fulfilled the most amazing amount of prophecies, numbers I can't even pronounce. One person fulfilling 8 prophecies would be one in that many, which is like 1 to the power of 17. One person fulfilling 48 prophecies is 1 chance in 10 to the power of 157. It's just unfathomable, bigger number than we can even imagine. The chance of one person fulfilling over 300 Old Testament prophecies about the Anointed One, the Messiah, impossible. But what is impossible for man is possible with God, and Jesus himself fulfilled over 300 prophecies spoken about the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come, who was being waited on, looked for by all in Israel. They had such a checkered past and history. They kept, you know, struggling to obey God and worship him and do as they ought. They end up in exile and displaced. We know what that looks like. Just turn on the TV. We see so many displaced people. We know it's horrible. Israel suffered this stuff time and time again, and every time they were told to repent and turn back to God. But even when they came back to their land in Judea after Babylonian exile, they still weren't really free. The Romans had rule of the land. Even right up to Jesus' day, the Romans ruled the land, and they were oppressive rulers. The Jews hated them, so they came up with many, you know, false messiahs, people to lead them to victory. There were freedom fighters, there were zealots, and there were people calling themselves the Messiah. But that just led to rebellions, and the Romans just shut them down and put an end to that. And the promised Messiah was still being looked for, was still being studied to, you know, recognize when he came. And they wanted him to deliver them from Rome and install a great and glorious future for the nation of Israel. Now, it wasn't just the Israelites looking for this Messiah. We know that after Jesus' birth, when he was a youngster, some magi came to look for him. And they had studied the scriptures and they knew that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. It says that in Micah 2. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." And it turned out Jesus indeed was found in Bethlehem. He was the Messiah, but in many ways not the Messiah that the Israelites wanted. We know he fulfilled so many prophecies. We won't go into them all, but I've mentioned the suffering servant, Bethlehem, the virgin birth, entering Jerusalem riding on a donkey is another one, pierced hands and feet, another prophecy he fulfilled. And so he is the Messiah prophesied through the Old Testament, the Messiah for all people, not just for Israel. So as I continue to speak about our next character in this reading, I just want you to think about who is the Messiah for you. Is Jesus the Messiah sent for you, to redeem you, to save you from your sin, to bring you out of exile, back into relationship with God, and bring about that peace and restoration in all your relationships in this world and the next? That's been God's plan right from the beginning. Back to Mark's gospel. As I just said, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And everyone all over the Judean countryside came to him, repented, and was baptized. So here we see a man, John the Baptist, he's well known as, fulfilling prophecy also. It was prophesied about him all through the Old Testament. This second to Jesus, I think he's the most prophesied about. And Jesus said about him, when people came to Jesus and said, is he a prophet? And Jesus said, yes, and even more than that. In Luke it says, and you will be called the prophet of the Most High. So this man, this Baptist repentance preacher prophet, was foretold long ago. We can see it in Isaiah 40. It says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So this is what the prophet Isaiah foretold about John the Baptist, the one who would come and prepare the way for the Lord. Isaiah spoke those words 700 years before John was born, and yet here he came fulfilling these very prophecies. He himself, John said, that he is that voice. Jesus affirmed it, and all the Gospels and Scriptures back this up. Malachi 3, another prophecy, 430 years before John was born. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, the Lord of hosts. Another reference to John, even Jesus said, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. That's from Matthew 11. One more prophecy I'll share about John the Baptist from Malachi chapter 4. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, Elijah lived 800 years before John. But these words, again, were foretold about him, the one who would come preparing the way for the Lord. And we wonder, how did he prepare the way? How did he smooth out the paths before the Lord? He called the people to repent because they knew the Messiah coming had to be associated with righteousness. The people had to be made more righteous to receive their Lord and King so that he could come among them and teach them and they could learn to follow God's ways and receive their Messiah. And so he led the way, he brought the people to repentance. They turned back to God, they sought God in all his truth. And this prophet, John spoke so boldly like Elijah did. He wasn't Elijah, but he came in the spirit of Elijah, speaking boldly, calling people to repentance, and speaking boldly against evil kings such as Herod Antipas. Elijah opposed Ahab. So we marvel at God's harmony between the Old Testament and the prophecies which actually came to fruition in what we call the New Testament. And we esteem these characters in God's big, grand plan. Now, there's one more character in this passage that I'd like to speak to. So let me just finish reading that very short passage in Mark. Speaking about John the Baptist. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit was prophesied all through the Old Testament. This was part of the coming and great day of the Lord. The Holy Spirit would come in power upon God's people. And we know that happened at Pentecost. We just read in Acts chapter 2, that great and glorious day Peter describes when God says he will pour out his Spirit on all people. And sons and daughters will prophesy, young men will see visions, old men dream dreams. On both servants, men and women, I will put my Spirit on them in those days. The Spirit is for everyone, a great outpouring. And we know that happened at Pentecost, but that's still only partial fulfillment. There's still a greater fulfillment yet to come on the end days when the earth below has signs of flood and fire and billows of smoke, and the sun is turned to darkness and the moon turned to blood before the great and coming glorious day of the Lord. The Spirit will come upon all people. All people. That's going to be a very scary day, but an amazing day, an immaculate day when Jesus Christ returns, which is still yet to come. So it's a now, not yet prophecy. We have the Spirit now, but he's coming in a greater fulfillment, a greater force on the day when Jesus Christ returns. Now, those words I just spoke, that Peter spoke in chapter 2 of Acts, come from Joel chapter 2, where in greater context it says, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts, the young locusts, all the locusts. You'll have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and young men see visions. On servants, men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I'll show the wonders of heaven and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So here we have the context of Joel's prophecy. It's the end of the days, the great tribulation when Jesus Christ returns. And Jesus refers to that day too in Matthew 24. He says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And so here we see the law of double reference. The Spirit was prophesied, he has come, we receive him in all his fullness, but yet there is a greater fulfillment. when we will be one with the Lord in the air. And that's the thing about prophecy, isn't it? It's fulfilled, and yet there's still a greater fulfillment yet to come. So we know the promised Christ has come, the Messiah, the one that they were all told to look for. He has come. That was foretold by John the Baptist. He prepared the way. He calls us to repent as well. And we've received the promised Holy Spirit. He's for all who believe, the scriptures tell us. Everyone who believes in the name of the Lord will be saved. We just have to believe, we just have to receive the Spirit. And he enables us to live to God's glory in this day and time until Christ returns. And so the question today, is Jesus your Messiah? Have you received his Holy Spirit? If you haven't, please ask today, because he is your guarantee of eternity. He's the guarantee of eternal life. As the Apostle Paul wrote, you were included in Christ when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That's the wonder of the New Testament truth. The Holy Spirit lives inside each one of us believers. And that promise which the Lord made in the Old Testament has been fulfilled and has even greater fulfillment yet to come. So I just ask you to reflect just for a minute silence, and then we're going to stand and sing a song. If you haven't received the Holy Spirit, today is as good a day as any. Just let him come into your heart. Just ask him to come, because he wants to live in you. That's what God wants for you. He will come in power just to change your life from the inside out. So believe in God for your salvation, receive the Holy Spirit, and look forward to a great eternity and greater fulfillment in all that he has ahead for you. Take a moment to pray.